welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research as Austin and I are busy here making breakfast.
Good morning, guys. Hope you enjoyed the new intro. We have a new, whole new platform.
Well, I was waiting for them to call us up and tell us, hey, you guys changed your intro.
We did.
I thought you guys would like to tell us about it.
A little change up on everything, and hope you guys are having an unbelievably blessed Memorial Day today. You guys are staying strong and healthy.
And I'm proud of Michael Barrett. I normally wear shorts on the set. And on the intro, he blacked out the shorts. So that was, I've got my legs hanging out. I told him I was still in college. If I had my hamstrings hanging down to my hand down to the floor, I'd be okay.
Hand glute tying on the side there. Yeah, whatever.
That's long ago. But good morning.
Good morning, everybody. Hope you guys are staying alert, awake, strong, and healthy as always. I was making a fit food again with some purple sticks. I had some eggs earlier, but they kind of wore off after about 2 hours. And, if you guys be sure to check out the product of the week, the Prostate Support. You need Fit Food or run GHI?
I'm going to run GHI.
How about it? Prostate Support product
GHI
of the week.
Keeps the spots off me. You know, like the stuff on your hands, they just go away with it. As long as you don't eat chocolate.
The chocolate with the Fit Food, with the purple stick, though, really gives you a nice little...
Well, the chocolate's okay with something like that, but you can't be just eating bars of chocolate.
Oh, no. Gosh, no. Well, the thing is, all this stuff's assay tested, so we don't have any lead or any nonsense in it.
Well, I had this girl I was going out with a few years ago. It was so funny. You know, she'd had to lose a bunch of weight, had to have gastric bypass and all this stuff done, and she was real nice. And I remember every time she came over, she showed up with chocolate and junk food. And finally, I asked her, I said, yeah, don't bring that stuff here. This is awful. I don't want to drink this stuff and eat this stuff.
Rarity. It's got to be a tool, not a crutch. Yeah. Use it for something exciting, not just to eat it on
a regular
basis.
She was trying to be nice, but then it told me why she'd gained so much weight.
Yeah, well, and I covered this on last week's show. If you guys want to re-listen to part of this on Friday, I went into detail about what sugar does to the body, how it gives you that calm, relaxing kind of feeling, that dopamine trigger with sugar. But then essentially your body has to pay for it with the elevated cortisol and the elevated insulin. And essentially it doesn't have a good payoff. And it has a much it elevates your insulin, your cortisol much longer than it increases your dopamine.
It costs you more than it gives you.
Correction, exactly. And then you start doing a lot of it. Then you have the inflammatory response from as far as when your joints and everything else. That's why you'll notice you start eating a bunch of sugar and next day, wake up, your hands are hurting, wrists hurt, elbows hurt. And that's one of the easiest ways to get rid of that. If you have eaten some sugar the night before, is that GHI cleanse that really cuts back on the inflammation. And one other thing I wanted to cover here, since we're opening up with the show, the Ultimate Morning Energy Kit, your perfect start. That's what I was making right here this morning. A lot of people asked about that. You can either get the sticks or the canned powder, the purple powder and chocolate or vanilla flavor. Makes a really good on-the-go shake. That's why I like making it right on the show. I have a lot of stuff kind of timed. I know how my body responds to it. So that's why a lot of times I know, hey, right around 10 o'clock we go live. I have a shake, 2 scoops of Fit Food, purple stick. I know how it's going to affect me because, quite frankly, when you're doing an hour live show, you don't have the luxury of being sloppy with your energy levels.
I'm sloppy with the table. I got stuff all over.
Well, I can't say much about that.
I'm going to get a towel here. Yeah, so we got to clean this up.
Powder everywhere. But, you know, you can't be on the show. Hey, guys, it's 10 o'clock. I'm about to drink me a quart of orange juice.
Sleeping in
we both be nodding off. I put my head down, start sleeping over here on the show, and then he'd be throwing his glasses at me, and then I'd be waking up angry, and I'd tell him to throw his glass back on his side. And then, see, it just becomes a problem. So just keep the orange juice out of the equation when you're trying to keep your blood sugar stabilized as best as possible. And one article that I wanted to dig into here first thing, and it was talking about essentially what happens a lot with the collagen craze, and it says the 10 compelling reasons to jump on the collagen peptide bandwagon. It says collagen, sort of natural glue for the skin, diminishes as we age. However, supplementation may help support aging skin and joints. The reason why I'm bringing this up is because I got a lot of new articles that keep discussing this and the reason why we put together the 3 formulated collagen peptides and why they work so well and why there's such a heavy, basically, return purchase on them, why people are starting to order them all the time. It's not a product that you just take for a couple days. Oh, my gosh. Get all these results back. It's something your body needs to use to continue to build up in your system. It's the same way if your body's been having health problems from eating junk food for years and years and years. You don't just suddenly say, okay, one day I'm going to eat fish and broccoli today. And then expect everything to change and your body weight to drop and your energy levels to go up because you changed one meal. You've got to reverse a lot of years of bad habits, and that's one of the best things to do with the collagen. It says on here, first thing it does on here is it, one, plumps the skin. Research indicates that collagen supplements not only enhance skin hydration, elasticity, and diminish the appearance of wrinkles. Notably, they find that collagen peptides play a vital role in reversing the effects of aging on the skin. Number 2, joint pain and stiffness, that's the big one that I've noticed a lot. Study finds, which sifted through hundreds of trials, found that collagen, especially when taken at 15 average grams per day, is most effective in enhancing joint mobility and easing discomfort. Number three, improves muscle health and recovery. That's why I tell you guys a lot of times, after a hard training regimen, two scoops of Fit Food, one scoop of collagen is an incredibly good recovery stack. Does not spike insulin at all and really gives your body the raw nutrients to recover. Number four, reduces bone loss. Decline with age can result in lower bone density. However, research indicates that long-term specific collagen peptides significantly boost bone mineral density in postmenopausal women. Number five, speeds wound healing. This would be something my personal coverage. If I ever had a cut, laceration, wound, anything that basically was an issue, I would probably double or triple my usage of collagen as far as the increased recovery on it and my vitamin C. That's just my personal preference on it.
Well, you know, about a month ago, I was in the garage and we have one of those tire racks that you take your car and drive up on so you can change the oil.
Yes.
It's made out of steel. It probably weighs 50 pounds.
They're strong.
Oh, yeah. And I had a 4x4 and I was trying to wedge over a trailer and I got it by accident and pulled it off the shelf and it fell like, you know, 4 or 5 feet and hit me in the arm. And it straight cut me to the doggone bone. I mean, I was bleeding.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, this is great. And it wasn't long enough to actually go in and get stitches on it, but it was deep. So I thought, what I'm going to do is I'm going to pack it in Manuka honey. Now, I'm not giving you any medical advice here. Do what you think you need to do.
This is your personal,
what I did. Yeah. I packed it in Manuka honey, and I bandaged it and kept it covered up. Hit the collagen like crazy, like the vitamin C. Within a few days, it was starting to really close up. And within 2 weeks, it's done. I got a scar there now.
Yeah.
But I'm just, by the grace of God, it didn't hit me in the head.
Oh,
that's pretty close to me because it hit me in the elbow, right?
Skull's a different animal.
Yeah, but it hit me so hard, it bruised me real bad, and my elbow was real sore for a couple of days.
Well, the speed of the wound healing is definitely something notable because the body and tissue's made so much collagen.
Oh, yeah.
One thing on here, and I want to cover this again because like, we covered this about 2 weeks ago, and this goes into detail. It says improved sleep. Collagen, which is particularly rich in amino acid glycine, can be a ticket to a better night's sleep, as it helps out as far as showing that consuming glycine-rich collagen supplements at bedtime.
That's why you don't want that's why you don't take glyphosate.
This is exactly what I was going to go into. We talked about in detail glyphosate,
which is Roundup.
Roundup, the weed killer that's getting sprayed on just about everything now, especially non-organic. Glyphosate fills the glycine receptors in the body.
Poisons you,
prevents your body from uptaking nutrients. This is what causes, in my opinion, one of the major issues with gut rot and leaky gut syndrome and all the other intestinal problems, because not only is glyphosate toxic, it's preventing the body from absorbing glycine.
Gut rot, that sounds awful. But I've never heard that term before.
Look at the photos
that
of those pigs.
That is Austin Brower quote. That's good.
It's gut rot. But think about this for a second. If the glyphosate's preventing you from basically uptaking glycine, collagen's particularly rich in glycine, which the inside, the intestinal lining is made up primarily of collagen. The body can't uptake any of this, and it's being prevented from it. It's going to start rotting your gut. It can't recover. It can't have that 72-hour cycle of replacing.
But gut rot, it sounds like you've got trash in the can and it's rotting itself.
Well, that's
awful.
What happens to a lot of people.
Well, I guess that's true. People have gut in their gut and they've got trash in their gut.
So again, reasons why to take this. Also, too, promotes gut health. Just covered this. Tests the lining, plays a crucial role in health. Research is involving healthy women revealed that 20 grams of collagen peptides daily over 8 weeks significantly reduced digestive issues such as bloating, pointing to collagen supplements' potential as a supportive element in diet. Helps boost immunity. I talked about that in detail, especially when you stack it with vitamin C. Aids in weight management. This is a really big one as well. Helps you feel fuller, longer, gives you good proteins. Potential role in aiding weight loss exists through further research they're showing. It improves cardiovascular health. Collagen, which is crucial for artery structure, may bolster cardiovascular health due to some research indications. Just another reason, all these reasons why.
Well, no, that's why I just took it. You saw me take it on my shake a minute ago. I took it, and I'll take it again this afternoon when Van comes over.
I take one scoop twice. I take it in the morning, and then I take it in the evening.
I'm going to do the collagen, I do the purple stick, and I do the GHI cleanse. It's a great stack. Oh, by the way, do you take hot showers or cold showers?
Both.
Yeah.
Sometimes it depends on what's going on.
Yeah, there's an article just came out that said, you know, if you got health problems as far as heart problems, not take hot showers.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
Yeah, they say that basically it dilates the blood vessels, which is what you try to do to get woke up in the morning. But that if you've got a problem, it could lower your blood pressure. You could collapse and hit your head in the shower and die.
That's not good. Well, cold showers, if you take an ice cold shower.
That does the same thing. It constricts the blood vessels and it makes the heart pump harder,
too. It wakes you up, though, boy.
Ooh.
That massively increases dopamine production in the morning.
But a lot of people take their shower as hot as they can get it.
I don't like that.
No, man, it's hot.
It's
like going in a hot tub. You know, I keep it around 98 degrees.
It reaches a point.
If you want 100, 300, 400 watts, too much.
If you turn, it's funny. Over in my shop, we did one of the electronic water heaters. So I wanted to do it a while back ago.
The instant on.
Instant on, because I didn't have a lot of room where I was going to be putting a hot water heater. And I was like, let's do instant on. My buddy told me about it. He got it for me, installed it. He was a plumber. And we turned it around, and we're clicking on this thing, and it shows you the degrees. It goes all the way up to, like, 160.
That'll scorch
you,
boy.
Like, let's put it on, like, 120 just to see how hot it goes. Man, that thing kicked on. It didn't take 30 seconds. I mean, I'm hands underneath, and I'm like, whoa, that's scalded. He's like, dude, this – he goes, these are not a joke. He's like, I didn't get you a cheap one. He goes, this thing goes from 0 to 100, like, immediately. And so those – you got to be careful with those. I don't recommend taking super hot showers.
Well, if you don't have any health problems, you know, any car problems, you probably handle a little bit hotter. But I don't recommend standing in a shower, you know, as hot as it'll go.
Well, even with that, you start to go steam room, sauna, you know, detox.
Well, that does the same thing to the heart. You got to be careful with that. I remember one time I was in Germany, and I went to the spa. This is a long time ago. I was in college. I was over there with my dad the first time. And I remember I went to the spa, and they had a hot, cold plunge.
Oh, yeah.
You go in the hot water, and you go into the cold. And you go, I mean, it's like ice water. And woo!
Boy, wake you up, boy.
Boy, I got sick, too. I got sick.
Well, a lot of times, bodies aren't used to that. They will adapt to it, though.
Put you to a healing process.
Now, one thing that I do have to say on this, make sure if you are taking really hot showers, you are using some type of water filtration on your system in your house.
Well, no.
In your house or your shower. We have shower head water.
And that includes well water. Because what happens is you can have trihalomethanes produced inside of the water. And these are really bad. In fact, if you use city water and tap water that has chlorine in it, you basically take a real hot
shower. Use a filter.
It creates as much, basically, absorption of the trihalomethanes if you drunk like 8 glasses of contaminated water.
Yeah.
It's really toxic to breathe in that steam that's got that chlorine gas in it. It's not healthy at all.
And all your pores are massively open from the hot water. Yeah. Your body absorbs
it. Well, you know, your skin is basically a sponge. It's called it's what they call a semi-permeable membrane. And what it does, it allows certain things to absorb, certain things not to. That's why a lot of drugs can be used transdermally. That's why you got to be real careful what you put on your skin. By the way, a woman is now given an astonishing defense after allegedly killing high school sweethearts driving home from a birthday party. And her defense is, I only had one drink, whatever, or maybe a couple drinks. And she's like, she loses control of the car, goes through a red light, kills these people. Now she's being trialed for murder.
Alcohol involved?
Yeah, of course. And now she says, I only drank one twisted tea after colliding with, in Uber and killing a couple, the court paper said.
What was her blood alcohol level?
I didn't say in there, but she may have said, I'm not going to blow or not going to let you test me.
She would have been conscious.
If she had to be conscious, if you're unconscious, boy, they take it.
They can do a blood.
You know, she says the court heard that she was traveling 82 miles an hour through an intersection.
Ooh.
Colliding with the Uber driver who was driving at 73 miles an hour through the intersection.
It's a fast intersection. Jeez.
Nuts. You know, Korea was found to have a blood alcohol level of 0.088.
Oh, she was right over the limit.
Yeah.
0.080 basically is the maximum limit.
Well, that's what it says, which is above the legal limit of 0.080. She was also allegedly driving without a license. It gets worse. She is facing 10 charges, including 2 counts of murder, and is set to face trial in August this year. She's pleaded not guilty. Well, she is guilty, but they're trying to charge her with murder. Family and friends gathered around each to help the aftermath of the death. They're raising $27,000 to help the people that were killed. You know, it's really kind of sad because now she's about to lose her life and everything else. You know what I mean? Even if they just put her in jail for a little while and she's a convicted felon, it's going to completely change everything. Plus, she's killed 2 people, Austin. What do you think about this? I mean, you're driving through an intersection 80 miles an hour.
I'd have to see the camera footage and see the context of everything.
She ran the red light, man.
Yeah, that's a bad. And, you know, let me tell you guys this. This is just something really important.
Just 1 second changes your life.
You know, if you're – I'm just saying this from an open platform – if you're planning out, you're going out and doing something, get an Uber.
That's exactly
right.
Get
an Uber, have somebody drive you. The issue you run into is that even if you've only had one alcohol, one beer, 2 beers, whatever, if there's an accident and there's any remnants of alcohol in your system, it changes the entire platform of that accident.
Same thing happens with as a pilot with, you know, with alcohol.
Yeah, alcohol changes everything in an accident. I've seen it happen. There's a kid I knew. I used to go to church with him way back in the day. I'm not going to give his name out there. He's out of jail now. And he went to Tallahassee, started drinking really heavy, came back down. It was like second semester, third semester. He's 19 years old. Ended up going to Lakeland, huge drunk party, got on I-4 going the wrong direction.
He must have been he must
he
have
blacked
been
out. Really blackout, driver's drunk, blackout drunk. Hit somebody, killed him, got 10 years. 10 years, alcohol involved manslaughter.
So he's still in prison.
And when I think he got good behavior. I think he got out for like 6 or 7. But I mean, obviously his life's changed a lot.
I had another friend of mine. He was an attorney. Went to college with him, and he ended up driving drunk. Had another kid in the front seat with him. He ended up losing control of the vehicle. He's a horrible driver. Oh, by the way, I'm going to say something to you. And I'm going to give you some personal advice here, and it's going to sound kind of weird. And for those of you who for all of you who understand this are going to understand it. If you don't understand it, it's because it doesn't apply to you. If you have a fancy car or a fast car, now listen to me. This is really, really important advice. Let's say you have a Corvette. Let's say you have a Corvette Z06, and it has 670 horsepower, okay? And you have a good friend of yours that you've known for many, many years, and he wants to drive the car. Don't get in the car with him. If it's fully insured. You get in the car with him. Because I have a friend of mine, and I'm going to just tell you, I bought a Corvette years ago, and I let him drive it. Scared the yik-yak out of him. He can't drive for anything. And I told him, next time I got another car, I tossed him the keys, and I said, here you go. He goes, well, you're not going to go with me? And I'm like, absolutely not. You scared the bejesus out of me last time. I'm not going with you again. And if you get in a car with somebody who's been drinking, you are really asking for problems, period. Don't get in a car with anybody who's drinking. I can tell you story after story of people. I said, nope, not doing it, not doing it, not doing it before I became a Christian. I'm not going to get in a car with you. Been drinking. I'm not doing it. I have no interest in it. No, I'm not going to have you kill me and kill somebody else. Not happening. And a lot of people think they drive better than they do.
That's a fact.
Okay. I know 3 or 4 of them like that I will never ride with them. Now, the guy that killed the kid, he ended up going to prison for 3 years, lost his law license and everything else because now he's a convicted felon in the state of Florida. And his whole life was ruined from one incident. He was stupid. Don't be stupid and drive and drink, period.
And here's my stance on this, because you know some people are like, well, I don't want to spend the money on the Uber if I'm going out to a restaurant or a bar. And I'm going, you're going out to eat and drink. You're going to go spend money, and you're saying you don't want to spend the extra $30, $40 on an Uber. Do you understand the level of idiot, like just how idiotic that is on that comment? If you want to go do something and get involved in that behavior, that's completely up to you. But don't be risking a lot of other people's lives.
Well, if that's a problem, instead of ordering the $75 roasted duck.
Or the Wagyu.
Or the Wagyu. Yeah. That's $200, which is ridiculous.
Order some chicken rice.
No. Just order an appetizer.
Yeah.
Okay? Save the rest of the money for the Uber to go home on. Or how about this? How about you eat a meal before you go out, and then you eat a salad when you get to the restaurant for $5? If you want to do that kind of crazy stuff and go out and get drunk, which I highly recommend that you don't, because it increases the risk of pancreatic cancer, liver cancer, cirrhosis of the liver, alcoholism, osteoporosis, and alcoholism, don't do it. Just stay away from it. But I came across a quote the other day that said, I want to share this with you guys. You can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending. I've been thinking about all that all weekend. Let me ask you a question. What do you guys think? Send me some emails on that. Ted.Brower@yahoo.com. But you can start where you are right now and change the ending. If you've neglected your health and you're 30 years old and you know what you look like, I'm not going to pick on you. You know you're not in shape. I don't care if you're male or female. And you don't want to have that end like that with all kinds of horrible diseases. Why don't you just stop what you're doing? And you can't change that beginning, but you can sure change the ending of your life. All of a sudden people are like, oh, Joe over here, oh, Mary over here. Man, they're always in shape. Man, do they eat clean. Look how good they look. And they used to be like, you know, they looked awful, but they look great now. They must be doing the Health Masters College of the vitamin C stack. Their skin tightened up. But remember that. You've got to remember where you are and then start from that point forward, because if you don't, guys, it's going to be the same results over and over
and
over
again. Well, it's funny you say that, because you know, one of my best friends, you know, Tyler, he came over the other day. They wanted to hang out with the boys. And he's down to 196 now.
Tyler?
Yeah, down from like 235. And he's been cleaning up. I mean, all he eats is like chicken and fish and rice now and broccoli. And he came by him, and I was like, golly. I looked at him, I was like, geez, dude. I said, your abs are starting to show through. I haven't seen those in a while. You know, we give each other a hard time sometimes and check it. And he goes, dude, you know, I thought about it. And I realized I wasn't happy with the way I looked and felt. So I decided it was time to stop eating so much food. You can't always be on a bulking season. We used to always joke about that. It's bulking season. We're eating.
Well, I told him the last time I saw him, I said, dude, I said, you know, what are you doing?
The problem with this is, and it's just personal experience and everything I know from dieting, you reach a threshold when you start going past a swing. See, like, I personally don't like the swing more than about 10 or 15 pounds. I'll stay high 190s, low 200s. Stay around there. You can always get ready for just about anything. if I'm not training heavy, you start going 215, 220, 230, 240, all of a sudden it's like, wow, I can't just clean up fish and rice for 4 weeks and lean down. Now it's like, now I really, really, really got to try to push. And that's what he said. He goes, I don't want to be like that anymore. It's fighting it too much.
No, well, you know, a lot of people say, well, I'm bulking up. No, they're not. They're just getting fat.
That's exactly right.
They're getting fat. Maybe you can't.
When you're in your 40s, you're no longer bulking up, unless you're a pro bodybuilder, which you're probably not. That's like 0.001% of the population. Yeah. You're not bulking up for a show to lean down. And quite frankly, a lot of the bodybuilders, you see them now, most of them stay really lean all year long.
Well, the reason for it is when you lose weight, you always lose 10 to 20% muscle weight, always.
So doing that, I'm going to bulk up to 250 during the winter, and I'm going to lean back down to 200 for a show. It puts a lot of stress on
the body.
Plus,
how many shows has he been?
Yeah, two. Maybe two pro shows in a year?
No. Your buddy. How many shows?
Oh, no. Yeah.
Zero.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right, okay. Oh, by the way, think about it for a second. Be careful how you speak to yourself when you're trying to lose weight.
Valid.
Listen to me. This is important. Stop self-deprecating. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I always maintain my ideal weight. I'm always at the right place in the right time. I always eat healthy. When you do that, you tell your reticular activator, which is the base of the brain, to allow you to do those behavioral patterns so you can change your comfort zone. Really important. You can't see yourself as fat when you look in the mirror. You can't see yourself as fat when you speak to yourself and you keep telling yourself how obese you are. Guess what? You're just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. There's an interesting quote I found this weekend, and it's about how the planet works and how everything works together in unison and how careful it is. Listen to this. In case you forgot, we live on a planet where whales sing songs that travel for miles, where trees can recognize their own offspring and protect them underground, where dolphins give each other's names, and where lightning can create glass in the sand, where horses can read human emotions, where rain has a smell before it even arrives, and where the ocean can glow in the dark, a planet where the stars we see might not even exist anymore, and a planet that was created by God Almighty that's held together through an energy field through Jesus. All of this is possible when we see where we are and what we can do with our lives. Ask what you would, and you shall receive it, according to the Word of God. But you have to keep your hearts, your minds, and your emotions in the same level. You can't be talking negative stuff about yourself, especially if you want to get healthy, especially if you want to get away. Doctor gives you some kind of voodoo curse, and he shakes his stethoscope at you. And he says, all right, you got 3 weeks to live, and you'll be dead. He has no idea if that's even true. You know, you've got cancer. Well, he doesn't know that unless he runs tests on you. And even if you do have cancer, there's natural approaches to that too. Don't allow somebody to speak negative stuff over you, and don't internalize it. Don't make it part of your belief system. Because if you do, a lot of times it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. I thought I'd better let you guys know that this morning.
That's exactly right. And then also talking about burning body fat as well. Here's an article that talks about limiting calories. Can't just sustain weight loss. Also hormones run the show, and they're partially right on this. Obviously, you've got to have limited calories down. You can't just be eating 5,000-6,000 calories a day and expect to lose weight. However, you also have to maintain proper hormone levels all throughout your body in order to keep body fat loss continuing. And one thing it says on here is one of the big ones is insulin and cortisol. Those two are key factors in maintaining and controlling those hormones in order to keep losing body fat. Insulin allows glucose in your cells to be stored as energy. When your cells become unresponsive to insulin or insulin resistant, excess sugar is stored as body fat. It's one of the reasons why the berberine, the dihydroberberine, the berberine ultimate we have works so good in burning body fat, because it's not a body fat burning compound. It's designed to maintain a basically healthy insulin levels and make your body more basically responsive to it, so you don't have what's called insulin resistance or syndrome X. Big factor on that. Huge thing that a lot of people don't talk about.
Well, and you got to remember something. If you're eating 6,000, 8,000, 10,000 calories a day and you're trying to lose weight, you're whistling in the cemetery. I don't care what you confess. It doesn't work that way. You know, calorie intake versus calorie output is the most important thing you got to look at. I mean, if let me give you an example. If you went and weigh 120 pounds and you're a lady and you want to lose weight and you weigh 170, you take that 120 pounds and you times it by 10, it gives you 1,200 calories a day. Okay, so you divide that by six. That's 6 200-calorie meals per day.
That's the most simplistic way. That's as simple as it gets.
If you're a guy and you want to weigh 180 pounds, you times that by 10. That's 1,800 calories a day. You divide it by six. That's 6 300-calorie meals a day. And you may have to count the calories of those meals to start with until you get used to eating 300 calories, because 300 calories is not a lot of food.
It comes down to portion control. Eventually, you reach a point where you don't have to sit there and really measure stuff because you already know what kind of size meals you need to have. period. You know, I hardly ever count stuff anymore.
Well, you know, it's funny. You know,
you don't need to when you know.
Last year, I went out with a young lady, and she had abs.
Yeah.
She had abs.
Rare to see nowadays.
No, I mean, when they weren't like bodybuilding abs, but you could see them. Yeah. And I looked at her. I said, you know, what do you do? How do you do that? She goes, well, I eat very small meals. And yeah. I took her to lunch, and sure enough, she had like a tiny proportion. Yeah. But, you know, you see these girls. I'm going to say it anyhow. You see these women and these guys who come in, huh, I want the cheeseburger. Give me all those french fries, too. And I'll have that milkshake. Oh, on the other side, no, give me two cheeseburgers. And I'll have two milkshakes. Yeah, throw that pizza in there with it. And you're like, and they're like getting bigger as you watch them. And you're like, you're already 250 pounds. How big do you want to go? What's your goal weight? That's what I always ask them. What's your goal weight? You're at 250. Now what do you want to go? 300, 350, 400? Where do you want to go? And they look at you kind of funny because I say, look, I said, you just ate 5,000 calories.
Yeah.
I said, you ate it for like 3 days. I said, what are you doing? Well, you know, I'm hungry. And I remember this one lady I'll never forget. I love her. She's a nice lady, but she weighs about 300 pounds. And one time, and so when she had her youngest daughter, she let her eat as much as she wanted. Now the young daughter is about 350 pounds. And I said to her one time, I said, why do you let her eat so much? Well, because when I was young, I wanted to eat all the time, and my mom said no. And I said, oh, your mom was right. And I said, now you're 300 pounds. You let your daughter eat as much as she wants. She's 350 pounds. I said, what have you done to her for the rest of her life with this? What have you done for her health? Well, you don't understand. You're fat shaming her. No, I'm not. I'm asking about her health. If she thinks she's beautiful at 350 pounds, that's her opinion. I don't care. But I'm asking
cardiovascular.
Yeah, but what about her health? What about her heart? What about her pancreas? What about her joints? What about her knees? What about her ankles? What about her hips? I had a friend of mine, a chiropractor, great guy, weighed 500 pounds.
Brilliant. This smart.
But he had no discipline as far as his personal life. He ended up retiring in his like late 40s, early 50s. He couldn't even walk anymore. He's on like crutches because his hips couldn't handle the weight. But he would not stop eating all the food. And you have to ask yourself a question. What does it take for you to get convicted not to want to do that anymore? Now, some people never do. You see them going down. You see them at Walmart, and they're in the little carts. They weigh 500 pounds. You wonder how the cart had blown its wheels out. You wonder how in the world the cart can carry them. You wonder how they fit in the seat. And they're hanging over. You ask yourself, how did you get like that? It didn't happen overnight, friends. It happened because you make a choice, you make a choice, you make a choice. You know, Jim Rohn, he's a friend of mine. I'm so blessed that I met
him. Great content, man.
Great content.
Still relevant this day.
Jim Rohn,
R-O-H-N.
And he said something. He goes, if you take somebody at the age of 50 and you want to find out if they're a success or a failure in their life, what you have to do, you have to put them on a scale. And you got to weigh out all their successes and all of their failures. And he goes, most of the time, if they're really successful, it'll show that on the scales. It'll bounce up in the scales, show they're successful. If they're a failure, it'll bounce up the other way and show that they're a failure. And he goes, what people don't understand, it's not the one decision that makes those things happen. It's the constant little decisions, the constant little failings, the constant little successes. You forget to make a phone call, that's one. You forget to show up for a meeting, that's two. You forget to have your work prepared, that's three. You forget to, and he goes, and pretty soon all those little things pile up, and now you're sitting here at 50 years of age, and you're broke. You're driving what you don't want to drive. You're living where you don't want to live. You're probably married to who you don't want to be married to. I can't believe I said that, but that's true. And also you find yourself in this big mess. Why? Little choices, little choices, little choices, little choices over a period of time have huge results. They really do. Same thing with success. You show up for the meeting. You have your work prepared. You do what you need to do. You're always on time. You're super dependable. And you're like, whoa, okay. Well, pretty soon people realize, hey, I can hire Ted Brewer. I can hire Austin Brewer. I can tell them what to do. They'll have it done. I could tell them to show up for a seminar. Here they are. They're ready to go. And they show up on time. They do what needs to be done. And see, that's the problem that you run into when people say, well, I don't know why my life's like this. I feel like I'm walking under a curse. Why don't you keep speaking that? It'll keep getting worse. And that's number one. Number two, why don't you stop doing the behaviors that's causing that type of problem for you? Show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. You hang out with guys that don't show up on time, you're going to be late.
They eat McDonald's and Taco Bell for lunch every day.
I mean, if you hang out with people that always have an excuse as to what's happening in their life, some people, have you ever noticed they have like a little umbrella? They have to pop it up. It's always raining on them. Every time you ask them how they're doing, they're negative. And they're the kind of folks that brighten up a room when they, you know, leave it. You think, I can't believe you said that. Well, it's true, though. Have a positive attitude and realize that this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and I will be glad at it. Whether or not I like the president of the United States, whether I don't like him, whether I do, I'm a political agnostic. I don't like any of them. Okay, so just have the attitude of like, God's got this. I'm in covenant with him, so we're good. That's how I look at it. What do you think, Austin?
Focus on yourself and your family, the things you can directly change and have direct impact in. That's what I told people on the Hagman show last time. I told her about that. I said, listen, I was like, there's a lot of stuff you can't change. I can't change. It doesn't matter what you want to physically do about it. We're not going to make much of a difference on it. Like with Israel and Iran, the United States, completely and totally theater show that's going on over there right now. The reason why I haven't covered much more on it is because there's not much I can do on it, quite frankly, at all. Pray about it, give it to God, and leave it. What things I can't control are the things that my children are involved in, the things that my friends ask me advice on, what I do with my own self, my own body, my own energy, my own company, my own supplements. This is what I do. I can continue to make a better, higher quality supplement the best I possibly can. So we rolled out all new formula to help more and more people have positive impacts in their life. That's what I can do, and I do it. You know, the thing about food and eating, it's funny because yesterday I've been really, really clean the last couple of weeks. And yesterday all the kids wanted to go. Five guys, but nobody really wanted to go, so I took Kendall over there. We had a little date.
You were supposed to bring me a hamburger.
I did. I ate yours. This is true confession, guys. Wrong. This is live. I'm glad you go. I got you.
I wondered where my hamburger was.
I ate it.
You ate two double cheeseburgers?
But I didn't notice any bread.
Oh.
So I basically had four patties with a bunch of veggies on it. And is that the healthiest thing to eat on a Sunday? Absolutely not. Don't quote me and say, "Go, I'm the awesome brother, so do you two double cheeseburgers." But when you've been eating chicken and rice every single day for the last 2 weeks, and I want two cheeseburgers, I'm going to go get two cheeseburgers. You know why? Because my body can handle it. Quite frankly, I feel great this morning.
You want to show them your abs this morning?
No.
Your abs are pretty good.
Not yet. If you have me do that, give me like two more weeks. We'll go into June. So the difference is, when you keep stuff really tight and you're staying disciplined, you have the ability to have some fun sometimes. Now, I didn't drink a milkshake, nor did I have any fries. Because those two things don't go together. If you want to eat two double cheeseburgers, you can probably get away with it if you're eating really clean and you're staying lean. You throw in a 2,000-calorie milkshake with 1,000 calories of fries, now you're starting to push the limits of what your body can handle. But quite frankly, you eat two burgers, pull most of the bread off of it, that's almost all straight protein anyways. That's all it really is. There's not much carbs in it.
Here's how I look at Five Guys.
You didn't get one, so I'm sorry.
That's all right. I didn't need one.
I figured.
But I had your kids come over last night. We went through almost 2 dozen eggs.
They eat eggs, man.
I mean, it was unbelievable.
I can tell you guys this, and I know you think sometimes I'm just like coming up with random stuff, and I'm really not. I give you guys real true world advice that I experience every day. I don't make anything up, neither does he. You will notice a marked increase in cognitive functioning, less irritability, better focus, and more discipline in your kids if they start eating eggs. That by itself, cutting out the heavily refined carbohydrates and increasing their egg intake. That's just my opinion. Try it. I almost guarantee it'll work.
It was so funny yesterday. I made some organic peas with some carrots, and I was cooking them, and I was cooking the kids, you know, some corn and organic broccoli and organic corn, and I was making them egg salad.
Yeah.
Well, I'm eating my peas, and Stetson sees me, the two-year-old. We call him the Kraken. He jumps up on my lap. Ah! And I said, "You want some peas?" Ah! So I give him. He ate almost all my peas. Organic peas. And then he ate his egg salad. You know, of course, as far as, let me say this, I had to ask Kendall to feed him. I said, okay, I got egg salad over the kitchen.
He's a grazer, man.
No, he's a slob. He was throwing things everywhere.
He's a grazer.
Oh, by the way, there's an interesting article. Where have all the men gone? Where have all the men gone? By the way, I'm going to say something to you. Men, listen to me. Now, this is important. Now, I understand that some of you have made the choices that you're trying to get out of. I understand that some of you made other types of choices that are causing problems. But a man really needs to be able to support his family and protect them. I'm just going to say that. You know, and the problem with this is now women's liberation and the Frankfurt School have come in and destroyed the men in this country and has turned them into a bunch of betas. Now, sometimes they're not even betas. You got alpha, you got beta, right? Some of these, and then you got the omegas, the way that ones down here. Some of these guys aren't alphas, they're omegas. They're complete and total simps. And they can't produce anything. They can't provide anything. They can't do anything because they've got too much estrogen in their system. And a human body with a Y chromosome is not designed to run properly on estrogen. It's not.
No.
It's got to have enough testosterone. The Department of Labor keeps careful track of employment and demographics thereof. Their latest report on men and labor force is both mysteriously and deeply alarming. It turns out that the labor force is missing about 7 million men who otherwise would be working. Close to a third of working age men have vanished from the labor force. You hear that? Yeah. 7 million is a third of working age men. They're gone. They don't exist in the labor force anymore. The labor force participation rate among prime age men, 25 to 54, in the 1950s approached 100%. Now it's at 89%, meaning roughly 11% are not in the labor force and neither working or even looking for work. Among all these men 16 years of age and up, the rate is devastating, as low as 66%. So about a third are gone. Among U.S.-born men, nearly 22% are gone. The trend in decline starts way back in the 60s when women liberation started hitting. Here's why. You go to apply for a job and they have affirmative action. Suddenly you're not hired because the woman's hired. Because the woman's a woman. Now, it doesn't mean she's qualified. And I'm not picking on, because some women are very qualified. They're more qualified than men are. But when they're not qualified, they get chosen over a man. The man gets kind of defeated. But we really aren't talking about wooden legs or paraplegics here as far as men aren't there because they've been hurt in wars. This traces to mental disorders, substance abuse, obesity, chronic disease, low motivation, low testosterone, pharmaceutical injury, and general lethargy and or demoralization. How do they pay the bills? Lucky ones have trust fund flows. In other words, their parents set up a trust fund for them, and they're trust fund brats. Now, if you've ever been around a trust fund baby, 99% of them are awful. We have guys who work in car dealerships, and we ask them about trust fund babies, and they say, oh, my gosh, they're awful, man.
The worst people to deal with.
The conventional ones live with mom and dad and take disability benefits. The really unlucky ones are simply homeless. Had a lady one time on the airplane. I'm not going to go into detail with you. She starts, she told me she was the last of the true Teddy Kennedy bleeding heart liberals. And her son had AIDS. And she had rheumatoid arthritis. And she was so proud of her son because he had AIDS because he lived in her basement. And I'm like, okay, well, that's great. The number of men who live with parents has tripled since the 1950s. There's an overlap here with men falling out of the workplace, especially non-college men living with parents. And 20% are less likely to be in the labor force. There's plenty of blame game going on. The full feminization of the workplace is only a few decades old now, with every firm being ordered by human resources, which is dominated by women, by 70 to 80%. They serve as a breeder of conflicts such that any offense is immediately reported if it usually involves man as target. Now, I'm going to stop for a second. I'm going to read that again. They serve, right, as a breeder of conflict in human resources such that any offense is immediately reported if it usually involves men as the target. You walk into the room. There's a woman sitting at the typewriter. Or now you see the computer, and dated myself, sorry. She's sitting at the computer, and she's got nice shoes on. That's all she has on, are nice shoes. She's wearing a set of Versace's or whatever. What's that one that's not Versace, but it's that the one with the red soles on it? What is that?
Oh, what is that? Louis, like a fake Louis
or whatever.
It's not fake Louis. Louis.
It's different. It sounds the same. They're beautiful shoes.
Right.
Now, well, guys, we don't care about shoes. We don't care. We may have two or three pairs of shoes or whatever.
I like some good old gator boots.
Yeah. You know, reptiles. You know, you got to kill the reptiles and wear their skin. That's the kind of stuff, right? But you say to her, nice shoes. And you walk away. They file a report on you. He's sexually harassing me. He told me I had nice shoes. No, it's true. And you're like, what the heck? I can't even say she has nice shoes. I didn't say she had nice ankles. I didn't say she had cankles. I didn't say anything. I said she has nice shoes.
Cankles.
You know, Bill Clinton liked cankles. Remember that? I didn't know what cankle was until Bill Clinton. College students have been taught for years that the word toxic and masculinity are inseparable. That's because of the Frankfurt School. In the corporate workplace, are they hostile to men? Absolutely, yes. As a general principle, a man without a job is going to get even sicker. The whole of society suffers their absence. In the end, we're really talking about basically the choice to drop out because they get tired of being persecuted. For the past year, this guy says, I've been working on a book talking about what's happened. Just to cite one obvious point, in the 1950s, 4 out of 5 households with children under 18 had one stream of income provided by the husband and father. I'm going to repeat that. I had a friend of mine ask me the other day, they said, can this ever be fixed? I said, well, the way we are right now with the way the Federal Reserve Bank has inflated the currency and made everything really expensive, it's going to be difficult. Just to cite one obvious point, in the 1950s, 4 out of 5 households with children under 18 had one stream of income provided by the husband or the father. And you think, well, why was that? Well, because the guys were providing and protecting. But now it's almost impossible to do that if you don't have a high-paying job.
Well, that's one of the biggest things that the banker boys that love breathing everybody's air is the fact that they've caused this hyperinflationary system now intentionally, and they did it. They really ran it up during COVID. They really ran it up in the 08 collapse. I watched that, and then we saw the continual inflation of things, and then COVID just took it to a whole other level. You know, $7 trillion in 1 year in the market. I mean, you watch everything spike up 20, 30, 40%, and it never came back down to baseline.
No, the pickup trucks were like $65,000. Yeah. Now they're $95,000. You're like, who can afford to make a payment on a $95,000 truck? This is expensive.
Well, you know, it's funny. I found an old photo the other day. That old Super Duty way back in the day.
Probably $35,000.
When we bought it at auction, ended up banging at the auction at $22,000. The silver one, the big one.
Oh, the lifted one.
Paid $22,000 for that truck back in, years back. It was a 2005 Lariat long bed diesel. And I'm looking at it, the numbers were like $22,000. Sticker on that truck back then when it came out was $40,000. truck was loaded up. Bought at the auction for 20-something grand in the crash in 08. Now, that same truck still is going for like 25 grand because the inflationary rate has pushed them back up. And you go, because you can go to buy a new one now, like you said, you want a new Ford, these are $100,000. I mean, the houses have been so manipulated. It drives me bonkers, man, because I've watched these developers completely and totally take advantage with the backing of BlackRock, take full advantage of the younger generation.
And this is global, by the way.
No, it's global. It's not just everyone, but Florida's gotten bad. Right. You know, the other day, I went down Old Dixie across from the school, Tenorock School. They're putting in another subdivision in the swamp on the other side right now.
Yeah, I saw it. Right by the high school.
Oh, the swamp. And this is all wetland.
How'd they get the permitting, Austin?
You can't even go out there half the time without permitting to go hunting. It's like Tenorock swampland. It's protected. Oh, put a subdivision in. So they're dredging out the whole backside to backfill it up, to put more houses in it. And I'm going,
mosquito
really?
Swamp.
This is the best you guys can do, developers? You stinking cheap people.
Don't say it.
People.
Little hat people.
Little, gosh.
No,
they're buying the property for pennies on the dollar.
Oh.
They're somehow, because I guess maybe they're all Masons, speculating, but pretty accurate.
You guys, you say that.
But no, the fact that they're getting this stuff permitted. You go out there cutting out a cypress tree without a permit, Swift Mud finds you 100
grand.
They're going out there and dive bombing trees for 100 acres.
And cypress trees.
Yeah. I'm just push them over, just bombing them.
Now, I'm going to say something to you, and this is important. Listen to me. Right now is not the time to buy a house.
No, it's really not.
Now, listen to me. This is important. I mean, I've got a friend of mine, and they're a great person, and she's a single mother, and she works really hard in construction. It's kind of sad, actually. She's working like crazy hours, and she bought a house, and her payments are $8,000 a month.
Woo!
Now, listen to me for a second. That's unsustainable. If you have to work 100-hour work weeks to pay for the house, number one, you're going to age yourself really fast. You're going to destroy your health really fast. And number three, you're not going to see your kids anyhow. You don't need to buy things you don't need with money you don't have to impress people you don't know. Don't do that. You know, don't make your whole life based upon what you buy as far as real estate and homes. If they don't self cash flow, there's no point in even buying them, especially if they're rental units. If you got to put money into them every month, and if you do have them paid for, don't fall into the trap of basically taking them and selling them for money.
Or pour the equity out of them.
Yeah, don't do that.
I remember guys were doing that during COVID.
And living these high lives.
They had places that were paid for, rental properties. I knew guys had rental properties that were paid for. Some of them cashed out, did good. Other guys, well, we'll pull the equity out. I'm putting $1 million in equity out of these rental properties, and they start burning through the cash, doing other stuff. The problem with it was, then all of a sudden, you go, well, property's not worth what it was anymore. The COVID peak of 2022.
Now you're filing bankruptcy.
Now you're upside down on the rental properties based on even what you owe on them.
And now you can't file bankruptcy. It's easy if you make over a certain amount of money because George Bush changed that. He's a Republican.
Well, here's the problem with the Chapter 7 now when you get a situation like this, because you'll still show on paper that, you know, you may be bringing in $100,000, $200,000 a month gross or a year gross, but cash flow wise, you're solvent because the debt. Well, the problem is bankruptcy, Chapter 7, they don't look at the insolvency aspect. They look at a lot of the alter factors, what your gross income is.
You know, it's
is.
Funny. You said that to me the other day. I'm going to stop for 1 second and just step it back for a notch. I've had a friend come over planning bankruptcy.
Yeah.
Okay? He made $105,000 last year.
Yeah.
He can't file bankruptcy. He makes way above the mean.
Even if his debt outweighs his income, it doesn't matter.
Well, no. He was given over $2,000 a month away to nonprofits. Now, stop that. If you're insolvent, stop that. He was spending $2,000 a month out on dating. He was spending $2,000 a month on credit card, just payments. He couldn't pay him off. And so all his money after taxes was going away. He was insolvent, making $100,000 a year.
But when you go to the bankruptcy court, they don't care because they show what your gross pay.
Now, I told him, he's in his 70s now, and I told him, I said, look, here's the deal. I said, you got enough money in your SEP account. If you could draw some of that money off without paying penalties on it because you're in retirement mode anyhow, I said, he still works full time, but he can still draw it off. I said, you need to do that. He goes, what do you mean? I said, take that money out and pay off these credit cards. Take that money out and pay off your vehicle because you're making a $1,400 a month truck payment. I mean, it's just there's no money left. And the sad part about it is, I said, you got to cut out the money you're giving to these nonprofits. I said, a lot of these guys are total scammers. They list a bunch of them.
Almost all of them are scammers.
No. If the guy gets on TV and goes, I'm a billionaire, give me money. Why are you? I'm going to ask you this a question. I almost said something ugly. If you're a billionaire and you got a nonprofit organization, why are you not a funnel? Why are you not a conduit? Why are you not letting that money pass through your nonprofit to other groups of people that need the money? Why are you claiming to be a billionaire when you probably are, and you're hoarding that money? Hoarding it.
You need brag about having four different private jets.
Yeah, do you really need 1,000 millions? That's a billion.
Yes. That's a lot.
No, this guy says he's worth $4 billion. Do you really need $4,000 million? Do you really need that? Why don't you give that money like you're supposed to groups of people that are actually working for a living and doing what they need to do? Why don't you start finding places to put that money as a gift to people rather than hoarding it? So, in fact, the reason I said that, one of the primary people he was giving that $2,000 a month to was that guy. And I said, guys, this is no good. I told him, he kept me doing this. I said, give it to your local church where they need it.
You know, $1 billion, especially this is tax-free. This isn't a business. They're not selling products with goods sold and inventory carrying costs. This is all donation money through 501c3 corporations. People are giving them. They have no business structure on a retail segment. You know how much, just $1 billion, how much involvement you could do with private contractors and child sex trafficking, mm-hmm. and building direct action elements and teams that were working with law enforcement to go out and basically go after these guys.
Or setting up real orphanages in third world countries that you actually are funding to have actual children in them. A lot of these guys claim to have orphanages. They don't even exist. No.
With direct ecosystems around them, mm-hmm. having basically security, having people going out trying to get these kids, having trying to go after these predators. Mm-hmm. I mean, dude, that's a lot of cash to start not flowing into that.
Now, one more thing I'm going to say, and then we're going to do some more local news stories. I've treated so many cocaine addicts. You never know these hardworking overachievers are secretly on drugs.
That's a fact. A lot of people, I saw that with the methadone clinic when I worked there. At Southeastern, mm-hmm. with basically people that are hooked on OxyContin.
Mm-hmm. What happened? Well, that's not cocaine.
They all fall in the same category.
Here's what happens. Okay, you get to a point where you exhaust yourself.
Yeah.
You don't realize it's not by power, it's not by might, it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. And you want to work. Well, if 40 hours doesn't do it, I'll do 50 hours a week. Well, I got these debts. I got a new Ferrari. Well, if 50 hours doesn't do it, I'm going to do 60 hours. I got to make my Lamborghini payment. Now I got my Ferrari and my Lamborghini payment. Or I've got my Super Duty payment, and I've got my $8,000 a month house payment. Well, that doesn't work. I'll pay 70. Well, I'm exhausted now. I'm tired. Well, let me go ahead and stack up on, Red Bull. I'll keep going.
Adderall.
And all of a sudden, you don't have enough energy to keep the hamster wheel going. So now you go, well, I got to try something else. And a friend says, hey, I'm in the same boat. You know what I do? I hit cocaine every morning. Man, it gets me going for the day. But boy, does it drain the adrenals. Boy, does it make you age. And boy, does it burn lean muscle mass. And boy, does it get you addicted. And so that's what they're talking about here. Why are all these people addicted to cocaine now? It's because of that.
Well, a lot of it was the Adderall market.
Mm-hmm.
The Adderall market really refueled basically the amphetamine addictions in the United States. Because, cocaine was a serious problem in the United States back in the 80s with all of it coming in through Miami. Miami went from nothing to like the cocaine capital of the world. And then what happened was Adderall came in on the scene in the 2000s as it replaced Ritalin. Ritalin's methylphenidate didn't hit the body as hard as amphetamines did with Adderall. I watched all this in college, watched it. Everybody in college started getting Adderall prescriptions. I mean, the doctors, was like, well, I can't focus for an exam. Here you go. Here's 30 milligram tablets of Adderall. And what happened is everybody starts running them all the time. Everybody did in college. And I was Southeast school. Everybody had Adderall back then. And now the problem is that market has gotten slimmer, and they're making it harder to get those prescriptions. So now it's rolling back to basically the dope market. This is exactly what they did with OxyContin and heroin in Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. Same thing these guys always do on the black sites with the CIA. I watched that movie American Gangster the other day.
Not for kids.
Drug use in that film. Denzel Washington did an incredible job with that as far as the picture.
Would he
film.
Buy a nice house?
Oh, gosh. Well, I mean, he went straight.
Moved his whole family in.
Went over to Vietnam and started directly trafficking like raw heroin in the United States through caskets and other means. And it was a very real story about that. The CIA was directly involved in helping him do a lot of it and covering it up. So they didn't go into a lot of the detail of the CIA, but that's how they were doing it, the C-130 transport planes.
Read the book. The Operation Gladio, the unholy alliance between the CIA, the Vatican, and the Mafia, and learn what they really did in Vietnam War. By the way, Disney now, the Marvel Comics things, has got a brand new set of leadership that is basically woke. So we're going to get to see a whole bunch of lesbians now.
It's done. Marvel's over with.
It is.
I talked to a guy the other day that had worked in the movie industry in Orlando, And he said the early Marvel movies, the stuff we saw as far as with the Avengers at first, and Iron Man, he goes, those films will forever be the best that occurred with Marvel.
Well,
everything else now has this entire woke agenda. He said this, he goes, all of the male superheroes in all the new films are going to be these really skinny, effeminate males that basically the females are going to outshine them throughout the entire films. Well, he told me the other day, and I started laughing.
Years ago, I was basically in New York City, and I've told you this story before with a pastor friend of mine, a good man, and his kid, and we had the three young ones with us, and we were driving in a taxi, and we were talking about the fact that there would be no Christmas decorations in New York City for Christmas at Thanksgiving. And he says, why is that? I said, well, it's controlled primarily by the Jewish population here, and they don't believe in Christmas. So they'll put up Hanukkah stuff everywhere, but if you look at the windows at Macy's, they'll have all kinds of weird stuff like the Wizard of Oz or whatever, but they're not going to have anything about Jesus. And the cab driver says, you're absolutely right. And he goes, what happens is these woke Hollywood people, these woke New Yorkers who were born there, these men don't go to schools that have both men and women in them. The private schools are like all men. And the majority of these, basically these Jewish guys, are gay. And they have a strange philosophy on what they're going to write, because they will write stuff in Hollywood and they put this stuff out. That's where this woke stuff came from, by the way. You got gay guys writing screenplays. And the gay guys go, well, I've got a 12-inch arm. They put their arm up, and it's like this big around, and you go, oh, this is what the superheroes need to look like, because they say it's not their arms, it's not their strength, it's their intellect. And so they put these little guys in there that look like little beam poles, and you go, well, that's great, I'm happy about that. And you go, well, this is crazy. And I'm like, this is what they do, and this is why Marvel's gone. Oh, by the way, Tulsi Gabbard, I told you this was gonna happen. Tulsi Gabbard resigned as director of National Intelligence.
I feel it's gonna happen.
That, I told you that about a month ago. She's gonna happen. She's stepping down from her role as director of National Intelligence to support her husband Abraham. Is the story. I'm not, my condolences to her before their husband. I'm not going to go into if I believe that or not. Gabbard informed President Trump of her decision with a meeting. In her formal resignation letter, she says she's grateful that she's allowed to be trust. But then what happened is just a few weeks ago, they went in. Gabbard noticed significant progress made during her tenure, including major declassification efforts, more than a 500,000 pages, reducing the size of the intelligence community. But now they've come in, the CIA has, and they've reclaimed approximately 40 boxes of documents a week.
I wasn't sure if that was accurate when I read that. Apparently, it is true.
The news comes roughly a week. This is why I think she quit. After controversy involving the CIA reclaiming approximately 40 boxes of sensitive documents, including files related to JFK assassination and MK Ultra.
MK Ultra.
And I guarantee you, the alien files, the spaceships.
The real stuff.
The incident sparked accusations of a raid on Gabbard's office by some lawmakers, which is true, though her team pushed back against the characterization amid her broader push for declassification. Gabbard, I told you she's going to quit. I like Tulsi Gabbard. I think she's pretty doggone nice. I feel bad for her that they got the bone cancer thing going on. But quite frankly, how many people is Trump going to basically offend? He is now slamming Ted Cruz and Lindsey Graham because he's come up with this new deal with Iran. And Cruz and Lindsey Graham, he's saying how stupid they are.
I can't stand either one of them.
But he's
the sitting president.
But
man,
we covered this last week. I read to you what Roy Cohn taught him to do on that show we did last week in detail. I've got it posted on who he really is and why he does what he does and how he basically deflects and how he always lies about things and why he constantly puts people down, because he's learned from Roy Cohn. You attack them as fast as you possibly can. You belittle them as fast as you possibly can, and they don't know what to do. It's kind of like blitzkrieg on them.
It does. It decreases any and all credibility they maintain still.
Yeah, so they destroy it. So it's just very, very important we understand. What's your next? You got a hell story.
Yeah, I got a hell story I want to cover here. This is in discussion. I was talking about the gut earlier. This new article came out. It says the stress-gut connection, why anxiety fuels weight gain and how to break the cycle. Stress disrupts digestion, gut bacteria, and weight, but modern science and traditional medicine offer more ways to restore balance. And it goes into detail here. It says basically how the gut is described as a second brain, because the brain-gut axis. I bring stuff all the time. There's a reason why. It says a two-way communication system linking digestion, mood, and even immunity. When you feel stressed or anxious or overwhelmed, this delicate network can easily fall out of balance, causing problems such as irritable bowel syndrome, bloating, constipation, diarrhea. Now, let me add into this. A lot of times, too, what's happening is the glyphosate and ultra-processed food ingestion is also stimming up issues like anxiety. That's a problem nobody's talking about.
Because you don't have nutrient uptake.
Exactly right. It's causing so much inflammatory response in the
almost
gut.
Always a magnesium deficiency.
Yep. So much inflammatory response, so much dysregulation as far as inability to increase and basically uptake nutrients, that the body increases also aspects of anxiety and cortisol, which then causes more issues with dopamine and serotonin production in the brain, because they're both tied in together. That's why the stress is like this revolving cycle with food, with the gut microbe. That's why a lot of times you'll notice when you eat cleaner, when you have better meals, when you have proper probiotics, when you have stuff like the GHI, when you have the fit food, good, clean meals that feed your body, you, a lot of times your stress levels and your anxiety levels decrease. You're calmer. You can handle things more efficiently. Not saying stuff ain't going to piss you off sometimes. You're still going to get irritable. Not saying or making a claim like that. But what I'm saying is a lot of times you can regulate and control your emotions much, much better. That's why the sugar is such a perpetuating problem, where you carve more problems to eat more so you feel better, because causes more cortisol and stress. It talks about it here with the stress-driven weight gain, emotional eating, which caused a big issue that was stress-driven, hormone imbalance. Stress doesn't just change behavior, it rewires metabolism. Chronic stress, excessive release of cortisol from the adrenal glands.
Weight gain.
Weight gain, baby. Fast. It's a vicious cycle. Emotional eating and hormonal balance reinforce one another. Stress leads to cravings. Overeating disrupts metabolism. Poor sleep worsens sleep. And the weakened organ system makes it harder to recover. Without intervention, the cycle spirals into obesity, depression, and chronic disease.
Send me that article, please.
I will. There's a really good article on here. I need to get posted on the website because I don't have time to cover all of it. I may cover some more tomorrow in it. It talks about three principles of healthy bacteria maintenance. Can you lose weight while being stressed? That's a big question. I'm going to talk about this tomorrow on the show because I don't have enough time. I've already burned the clock down. But this is really, really important to go over and understand how stress and food tie into one another and how they all circulate back into mental health and how your brain is affected with these different types of hormone imbalances. It's a really good article. I'll go into more detail tomorrow and I'll send it to you right now. But this is one of the reasons why we have kits together, like the Ultimate Morning Energy Kit. Instead of waking up and drinking a giant pot of espresso and coffee, which basically gives you no nutrients. Understand, always remember, coffee doesn't give you any nutrients at all. It's a massive stimulant for the adrenal glands. That's all it does. It increases norepinephrine.
It robs your body of nutrients.
See, it gives you nothing. The purple sticks, the reason why we put it together with all the phytonutrients.
And the B vitamins.
Like a gram of acai and a straight gram per serving with all the B vitamins and the chromium and the B12 and all the other nutrients we have in there. It's because it's feeding your body. It's giving it the race fuel and giving it the natural stimulant to the green tea extract, not just taking from your body and leaving it nothing. When you take from your body and all you do is left with high cortisol, that's it. There's no nutrients. There's nothing to buffer it. That's the problem with a lot of stimulants and basically the energy drinks. That's why the fit food, you're getting the protein, you get the nutrients, and you're getting the purple sticks with it, bud.
Oh, by the way, Colbert's been canceled now. And he's blaming
Colbert?
Whatever you call him.
Yeah.
He's C-O-L-B-E-R-T. It says Colbert, but I think it's Colbert. He's been canceled. He was losing like $50 million a year, and now he's blaming everybody else for it because they don't want to approve his woke agenda. The only person that I've seen that can get past losing all this money and get an extension on his contract was Howard Stern. Now, remember, he's a big supporter of the Little Hat people. And, you know, wow, that kind of rolled off my tongue pretty good. But there's somebody out there subsidizing Howard Stern because his time, he was at one time the king of all media. He was. I'll give him credit for that, but not anymore. And, you know, and people have just gotten tired of the shock jock mentality. They don't want to deal with it anymore. But remember, you know, there's a reason that these people are being taken off the air because, you know, a lot of stuff was discovered through Doge.
Yeah.
And a lot of the funding for these groups were being paid through indirect ways through Doge. I really wish that Trump would have let Doge continue. I mean, it went for like 6 months and it was over
with.
Baker
boy, I didn't anything with full 6 months.
Started talking about Fort Knox. Done.
And he started talking. The biggest thing was talking about all the little contracts that were going through all these groups that made no sense. And there were contracts that people were getting paid for through these LLCs that were going to the shell corporations. You remember this. And stuff wasn't even getting fulfilled. Mm. You know, we have a $5 million contract for Peruvian transgender comic books. No, I thought that was the most bizarre thing, but then I found out later on, there were never any comic books that even got delivered. It was just this line item, $5 million. Check went to a random LLC. God forbid.
So corrupt.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm glad they didn't make any comic books on this platform, but they weren't even making anything. There was one they talked about in Afghanistan for a water treatment plant. It's like a $240 million contract.
Nothing.
Never got made. Never got produced. Treatment plant never went in. Got fully paid. I mean, when you start telling that kind of money out there in all directions, man, you can.
Well, somebody's paying for this woke agenda. By the way, AOC talking about woke agenda, she's mocked. She's telling everybody how to be involved in this and this and this as she speaks and lectures people with her unbelievably stupid personality and her unbelievably low IQ behind bulletproof glass.
There you go.
And I'm not saying she shouldn't be behind bulletproof glass. What I'm saying is she is such a weirdo. Oh, we got new music playing here.
There you go.
We adjusted the music a little bit. We're still having the Scottish music playing. How you guys like this?
Yeah.
It's nice.
I threw it in. Good music, good intro.
Oh, by the way, keep your hearts and minds in Jesus. all the time, all the Elder Roy. I prayed for you guys yesterday. It was great. I love you guys, and I appreciate you so very, very much. Thank you for supporting Health Masters, and thanks for listening to us.
Freedom 5. Freedom. Coupon code Memorial Day.
Oh, we have a big coupon code.
Freedom
today.
5, the number 5, F-R-E-E-D-O-M, number 5, Freedom 5. Coupons good through today on all non-sale items. I just did that for you guys.
Hey, I love you guys. Have a wonderful, wonderful holiday, and we will see you guys tomorrow. And by the way, this show has been live. We've been here for you on a holiday. I love you guys.
Have a good one, my friends. Talk to you tomorrow.